Welcome back to the OU's Avos to Rabbi Nassen. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we'll be concluding the second chapter of Avos to Rabbi Nassen. Now, for the better part of the past two chapters, we have been discussing analogous to the first mission in Avos. We've been talking a lot about the things that different people did to make a fence around their words, a protective barrier to keep people from coming to inadvertent sin. So we discussed what Adam did, and we discussed what Job did, and along those lines. So now we're up to the very end of this discussion, and we have a discussion of where we see this principle of making a siyag l'Torah, a fence around the Torah, where we see that in the books of Ksuvim, in the books of the writings, which is the third section of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and now Ksuvim. So let's look in Halacha Zion. It says, Ezehu siyag sha'asu ksuvim l'divrehem. What's the fence that we see the books of Ksuvim made around their words? Harihu Omer, it says in the book of Mishlei, of Proverbs, Harchek mehaleha darchecha ve'al tikarev al pesach besa. So it says to distance your path from her and don't go near the door of her house. So, well, of course, we're going to have to see who her refers to. Harchek me'aleha darchecha, you should distance your path from her. Zu apikorsim, this refers to heretics. Let's take a quick look in the Binyan Yehoshua, who will tell us what apikorsim are. Heretics, it says, Zeh ha'mavaze es ha'torah v'talmidei chachamim v'afilo diktok echad medivrei sofrim. So this refers to someone who makes fun of the Torah, who puts it down, the words of the sages, even a single detail. If it's somebody who denigrates Torah, then he is an apikoros. So we should stay away from apikorsim. She'omrim lo la'adam, so we say to a person, Al teilech ben ha'apikorsim ve'al tikanes l'sham. So we say, don't travel among apikorsim and don't even enter there. So what does that mean, don't even enter there? Again, in the Binyan Yehoshua. Afilu shelo tikanes ben ha'apikorsim rak b'mabwe shehem sham. Don't even pass through the alley where the heretics are hanging out. So forget about going and running with their crowd. Don't even just pass through them. Gam b'derech zeh al tikanes l'sham. Even this path, this seemingly innocuous passing through, you shouldn't do. Shema tikashel bam, because you might still become prey to them. Shem tikanes b'mabwe shelahem, sov chashetelech ben ha'bikorsim atzmam. Because if you go through their alley, if you travel where they happen to be, eventually you'll come to intermingle with them. So we want to keep a safe distance from such heretical ideas. Back in the Brisa. V'im omer b'teach ani ba'atzmi sha'afal pi sha'ani holech sham eini nikashel bam. And you might say, well, I'm pretty confident of myself. I know I'm firmly grounded, and if I pass through, I'm not going to be in any danger of them. Shema tomar shomea ani es divrehem v'chozer bi. Conversely, you should say that I'm worried about the possibility of hearing their words and having it have an impact on me. So don't be overly confident in yourself. You should err on the side of caution. Talmud Lomer. So again, Mishlei tells us along these lines, Kol ba'eha lo yashuvun v'lo yasigu archos chayim. Anyone who goes there doesn't come back, and they don't reach the paths of life. And the Binyan Yehoshua explains about Lo Yeshuvun, Koha Mamirim, Achashinavaku Baminus, Einam Shavim. Those who are enticed after hearing this heresy, they don't do tshuva. So it's a dangerous thing, and it behooves us to keep more than an arm's distance away from it. It's very, very important to have this fence around it. Back in the Brisa, Ksiv, the Pasuk in Mishlei continues to tell us, Tavcha Tivcha, Mascha Yena, Af Archa Shulchaneha, so that she's prepared her meat, she's prepared her wine, she's set her table. Eilu Rishayim Shebizman Adam Nichnas Benehem, Machilin Oso, Umashkin Oso, Umalbishin Oso, Umachasin Oso, Venosin Lo Mamun Harbe. So this refers to evil people, again, heretics, who when a person goes among them, they give him food, they give him drink, they dress him up nicely, they give him money. Kivan Shahaya Ke'echad Mehem, and then after he becomes one of them, everyone takes back the things that they gave him. So it's entrapment. It's to get him to join up, but it's not a permanent benefit. V'alehem ne'amar, and the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us regarding them, ad yafala chetz kavedo, until an arrow hits him in the liver, Kemahar tzipor el pach velo yada. And as a bird quickly rushes into the trap, they don't know. What don't they know? That they're rushing to their own demise. So somebody who's enticed by these evildoers doesn't realize that he's actually setting up his own defeat. Davar acher. Another explanation of our pasuk. Harchek mehaleha darchecha. You should keep your distance from her, which we originally said was from heresy. Zu zona. This refers to a prostitute or a promiscuous woman. Sha'omrim lola adam. They say to a person, al teilech b'shuk zeh, ve'al tikanis b'maboy zeh, shezona yesham, na'u meshubachas. So they tell a person not to go in a certain place that there's a woman who's very attractive and is a snare for people, morally speaking. And he says, oh, don't worry about me. I know that even if I go there, I'm not going to fall for her feminine wiles. They say, nevertheless, even if you're confident, don't go there, don't put yourself at risk. Shenamar, and it quotes another pasuk from Mishlei, Ki rabim chalalim hifilu v'atsumim kol harugeha. It says that many wounded have fallen to her, and the victims she's killed were mighty men. So we see that even people who are confident in their own abilities to withstand temptation are not perfect, and it behooves everyone to give this extra protective fence. The last of our series of fences is from the Chachamim, and it's Braisa Ches. Ezehu siyag she'asu Chachamim ledivrehem. What's the fence that the sages made around their words? Shechachamim omrim, the sages told us, kriya shma shel arvis ad chatzos. The nighttime shma can be said until midnight. Rabban Gamliel omer ad karos hagavar. And Rabban Gamliel says until the rooster crows. Ketzad, so how is it? So the Binyan Yehoshua explains what we mean by ketzad. Arabanan kai, it's referring to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Bimnei ma omru chachamim rak ad chatzos hariz manakoh halayla. Why did they limit it to midnight when in fact it could be said the entire night long? So the Braisa continues. Adam ba min malachto, a person comes home from work. Al yomer ochel kima v'eshta kina v'ishan kima v'archakach ekra kriyashma. A person shouldn't come home and say, I'll eat a little, I'll drink a little, I'll take a nap, and afterwards I'll say shma. Nimsa yashan ko halayla, ve'eno kore. We'll find that he'll fall asleep, he'll sleep the whole night, and he doesn't end up reading. El adam ba min malachto be'erev, rather a person should come home from work at night. Yelech lebeis haknesses or lebeis medrash. He should either go to shul or to the beis medrash. Imrogel likros kore, and if he's accustomed to learn, he should learn. Vimrogel lishnos shone, and if he's accustomed to learn Mishnah, he should learn Mishnah. So whether he learns Torah shebichsav or Torah shebalpeh, whatever it is he studies, he should do so. Vim lav kore kriyashma, and if not, he should just say kriyashma umispalel and daven. V'chola over al divrei chachamim chayev misa, and anyone who violates, goes against the words of the sages, deserves to die. That's pretty strong language. Let's take a look in the Binyan Yehoshua. Chayev Misa, anyone who violates the words of the sages deserves to die. Makshasham bebrachas hagemara. So over there, the Gemara in Brachas asks, Maishna bechol duchta delo ketani chayev Misa, umayishna hacha de ketani chayev Misa. Why is it that every place else we talk about what the rabbis say, we don't use this strong terminology, but here when it comes to saying Kriyat Shema by midnight, it gives us this very strong statement that if you don't listen to the rabbis, you deserve to die. Ibais Ema Mishum de Ika One Shena. Either it's because of the possibility that sleep will overtake him, which is an unavoidable thing, so he shouldn't procrastinate. But Ibais Ema Lafuke Mimanda Amart Filas Arvis Rashus Kamash Malan de Chova. And the other opinion is that we want to counter the opinion that Marv is optional. We see from this strong statement that Marv is in fact obligatory. Back in the Braisa. Rabban Gamliel Omer. Sometimes a person says, this is Rabbi Gamliel speaking, sometimes a person says Kriyat Shema twice during the night. Achas ad shelo yala amud hashachar, v'achas mishiyala amud hashachar. Once before first light, and once after first light. V'nimsa yotze ba yedei chovaso, shel yom v'shel laila. And we find that with these two nighttime readings, he fulfills his obligation both for the daytime reading and for the nighttime reading. Now this is an apparent contradiction, which we'll read more about in the Binyan Yehoshua right now. It says, Hagufa kasha, this is an internal contradiction. Amart pa'amim sh'adam kori kriyat shma shtei pa'amim b'layla, amal acha sh'yal adam hashacha laylahu. We said that a person reads kriyat shma twice at night, so we see that after first light, before sunrise, but when it's starting to get light on the horizon, we see that's still considered night. And Rashi clarifies, ad ha'netzachama, until actual sunrise. V'hadar tani yotei behen yedei chavaso, achas shel yom v'achas shel layla, amal yamamahu. And the next statement says that he fulfills his obligation both for nighttime shema and for daytime shema. Therefore, we see that after first light is considered daytime. Lo, l'olam lailahu. The answer is it's really nighttime. V'hadikari le'yom de'ika inshe de'kaimi b'hahi shaita. And the reason it calls it day is because there are people who get up at that time. U'perash Rashi de'kaima b'hahu shaita hilkach z'man kriyat shema de'yomhu de'gabe kriyat shema uv'kumecha k'siv v'hakaimi. So, the rule for Kriyat Shema is not based on whether it's daylight or nighttime. It's based on when people get up and when people go to bed. So you can't say the daytime Shema at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because that's not when people get up. So here, since the standard for Kriyat Shema is when people get up, and people do get up at that hour, even though it's still technically night on the clock, it does fulfill the obligation of Uvkumecha, when you get up, and therefore they fulfill their obligation of Kriyat Shema of the daytime, even though it's still technically night. Let's conclude. Now, you may recall that this is analogous to the first mission in Avos. We've had two very long chapters, and the first mission in Avos ends with three statements that the Chachamim made, and those statements were that a person should be deliberate in judgment, that he should raise many students, and that he should make a protective fence around the Torah. So we've been discussing for the better part of the past two chapters making that fence around the Torah. We're now going to have a very little snippet about one other part of that statement, the part about Vahamidu Tamidim Harbe, raise up many students. Shebe Shammai Omrim, Be Shammai say, Ayishna Adam El Mishehu Chacham Va'anav Uben Avos Va'ashir. Beis Shammai say you should only take on a student who is wise and humble and who has yichus and who's rich. Now, why should he be rich? Why is that an admirable thing in a student? Binyan Yehoshua explains, K'dei sheyochel lilmod b'lida agos v'tirdas parnasa. So he should be able to learn without having to worry about making a living. So that's something that a person can't do effectively if he's learning all the time, and he can't learn effectively if he's working all the time. So they kind of feel like you should choose one path and do it well. Ubeisilo omrim, but Beisilo say, L'cha adam yishne shaharbe poshim hayu behem b'Yisrael, that you should teach anyone, because there were many sinners among the Jews, v'nis karvu l'talmud Torah, but they got drawn close to study of Torah, v'yetsu mehem tzadikim chasidim uksherim, and they went out righteous, holy, upstanding people. So, of course, our practice is like Beis Hillel, and we do encourage the teaching of Torah to any Jew who is interested in it, or who may become interested in it. Okay, that's the end of Perek Beis. Join us next time, and we will continue with the third chapter of Avos to Rabbi Nassan.